The wheels of the economy need to get turning again, and that likely means that you need to get travelling to care for, deliver customers, meet outposts, whatever. It's also likely that because of ebb and flow, you'll be cautious on the cost of travel and your vehicles, which means you need sensible costs. But can the automotive industry, which itself has had a disastrous time, meet your financial wishes? Today, I'm dropping in, virtually of course, to the showroom of Silverstone Fleet Management and meeting its managing director, Scott Norville. Nice to see you.
Hi, Malcolm.
Scott. Welcome,
yeah.
Scott.
Good to see you, Malcolm. Good to see you.
I'm in Northumberland. You're in Northampton. Safe distance.
Just a little bit. Yeah, just a little bit.
Okay, but before we get into discussing the state of the automotive world, tell us about yourself and what Silverstone Fleet Management does.
Okay, so I started the business 8 years ago. Originally, I was working for a motor dealer. So I was working for a group, working for a BMW dealership at the time. And I could see that there was a market, there was an area in the market for a brokerage. And that's exactly what Silverstone Fleet Management does. So we look after locally businesses from small to large, and primarily as well a lot of personal individuals on personal lease. So the whole area is, you know, we try and focus locally, but actually we do offer our services nationally as well, up and down the country.
Excellent. Okay. Now, I know you started in 2012, the year of the London Olympics.
Yes.
It wasn't necessarily an easy time. We'd come out of a recession. But what was the spark that caused you to found Silverstone Fleet Management?
I think I was very sort of limited to where I was working previously. So I could just... A lot of the companies or a lot of the businesses that I was dealing with, they just really wanted to use me as a sort of port of call for their fleet requirements. But because I was just had one brand that I could offer, I thought, well, should I just look to set up a brokerage? And not only that, the position that I had previously, I was dealing with brokers day to day. So I knew exactly how it worked on the other side of the fence. So that's where the idea came about. And actually, strangely enough, how it actually came about as well is that I actually left the motor trade just for a short term. Worked at my sister's business doing fleet, environmental management is it's a little while ago now, but it was environmental management is what I had a position there. And to be honest, I was only there for probably about a month or so, and the account that I went to look after unfortunately didn't you know, nothing really happened there. So I was in a bit of a quandary. I thought, well, do I sort of go back to where I was before? Which I couldn't really, because I just recently just had a leaving party 3 or 4 days prior.
You give the presents back.
So that wasn't the best really. Yeah. Or do I look to do something differently? And to be honest, I just fancied a bit of a change. And then I thought, right, let's just set it up. So the name Silverstone comes about because we're based in Northampton, Northamptonshire. That's the sort of very, you know, that's the racetrack in Silverstone. So I thought that's a nice fitting name as well from the sort of history of motor racing locally. And then and fleet management is what we do on the tin. So,
excellent.
That's in a bit of a very sort of small overview how it all started.
I always think it's exciting how, you know, somebody thinks of a name, gets the business going, what sparked it and things like that, you know. Too many people think it just happens, and it doesn't, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't. No, it certainly doesn't.
I've had the sleepless nights.
You see it by my bags here.
The coronavirus has badly hit the automotive trade. I think its figures are showing minus 40% for the UK at the moment. And showrooms have been closed for a long time. What support strategy for your people and customers did you adopt?
So when it's the hardest thing for us is that when it did happen, we just literally just come off a record month in January. And, you know, it was the best ever month that we've ever had. And so we was hitting 2012 extremely hard. That was the plans for this year. And we started literally the ball rolling in January, and it was superb. You know, everything was working well. We could see the massive demand in cars and in leasing, especially locally as well. And then February was a good month as well. So we thought, yeah, this is great. And we was literally tracking to exactly where we needed to be. But then all of a sudden, COVID hit. And we didn't expect it to be as bad as it was. Our funding partners virtually just closed. Dealerships shut. Mm. We had an array of customers that were looking to take delivery of their new vehicles because we supply vehicles up and down the country with free delivery. Well, the dealerships were shut, so we couldn't supply. So it was extremely difficult. And to be honest with you, we mentioned previously about sleepless nights. I certainly had a few back then.
I could understand.
So locking the doors and everything, to be honest, wasn't really an option, which it was an option for me to do that. But I looked at it and thought, well, I'm not going to do that because if I locked the doors and just walked away, we've got so many customers that have got cars or waiting for their vehicles. If they can't get through to us, that's more of an impact, detrimental impact to the business than anything else.
Yeah.
Because with our business, it's all about reviews. It's always about customer service. And it doesn't take much for a customer to actually go online, put a free review onto any site. That's just not good for the business. So we kept it open. So it's myself that was here. Luckily, unfortunately for me, I only lived sort of 30 seconds from the business.
Right.
So in terms of social distancing, it was absolutely fine. It was a bit of a godsend for my wife as well, because I was out of the house most of the time.
Yeah, I know.
But with the team, they were working from home as well. So they were working from home. But I did have, and then with furlough then sort of coming into play, that was the only choice that I had, because I was very limited into what I could do. And then slowly but surely, we started to get members of the team back. So we just had to have a bit of a master plan of what we were going to do. And it was just treading everything very slowly, seeing how the market is and reaching out to the customers as well, speaking to them, letting them know what's going on.
Yeah.
And to be honest, that was really the main thing. That's the only thing that we could have done. A lot of our competitors, they just literally just locked the doors and just walked away, which, to be honest, it wasn't an option for us, really.
No. That's brilliant, Ed Scott, because, you know, that's the time that customers will remember you. Even if you had nothing to tell them, you were communicating. And that's key, isn't it? You know, look, with many people now working from home and likely to continue to do so with consequent less mileage, I'm an example, usually 20,000 miles a year, 140 in the last 4 months. And still paying the lease. What changes do you see in leasing demands from customers? For example, smaller cars, smaller annual mileage. How are you advising customers at the moment?
It's a very good question. Everything has changed literally overnight. So where the annual mileage and the norm of the mileage was sort of 12 to 15,000 miles a year for a business user, we're now seeing that drop to 5,000 miles a year.
Yeah.
So it's drastic. But what comes with that are lower monthly payments, because it's a lower annual mileage, which means that the offers are very competitive. And we're seeing a massive spike in customers coming off of public transport. That has been the biggest sort of turn, really. So when customers are coming off of public transport, they need transport. They look at some offers, and we're starting to see now, and we have done for the past 4 to 6 weeks, more demand in the smaller vehicles. So with Fiat 500s and Renault Clios, where before it was more sort of premium brand of sort of £400 to £500 a month mark, roughly speaking. Now it's £150 to £200. So that's the appetite now that people have got. But we're starting to see things open. Thankfully, dealerships now are opening up as well, so we can supply, which is fantastic. But no, to answer the question, everything has changed. Smaller mileages is where it is at the moment. And I think, to be honest, that's where it's going to be. I really do, because everyone is working from home now.
And customers don't want you to visit them in many cases because of social distancing and other things. And that's going to continue. So are business users yet seeking greener vehicles such as electric, or is there still that range concern, you know? How are you caring for these type of demands?
It's what we once again, what we're finding before COVID, everything was going electric, hybrid electric, more so on the hybrid side. And then all of a sudden, then you've got more of demand for electric. So with Tesla, for example, that's a bit of a shining light at the moment. Some of their models that they're doing, like the Model 3, that's in comparison with the C-Class and the BMW 3 Series, which is usually a sort of a reps car, is what they sort of class it. But no, the range, there is a lot of range anxiety. There's no question about that. But we advise customers the best way. We're fortunate to have a Tesla ourselves here. So it's a car that I physically drive myself, Model 3.
Yeah.
And yes, the range was a bit of a concern when I first jumped into it, because I'm so used to going to the fuel station, putting the fuel in. And I was doing that probably once a week. I think the difference now is that I've got a charging point at home. And the way that we portray it to customers now is that we just have to think that it's like having a filling station at home every night. You sort of turn up, plug it in, and it's great. But the range now is 310 miles to the charge that we're finding now. Yes, you have got the smaller vehicles like the Renault Zoe and a few others that haven't got that range. But the time is now where I think everything's propelling now more to electric car. Definitely by far. There is talks of hydrogen in the next year or so. I think we are off of that. We're not there yet. But then saying that 5 years ago, we were saying the same for electric. So we don't know what's around the corner.
Yeah.
But we advise a lot of businesses for electric cars and hybrid. And primarily because this year, this tax year, it's 0% on the benefit in kind. There's so many positives with electric, and we're finding the demand extremely high indeed.
Yeah, yeah. It would be very good if we had electricity in Northumberland, but never mind, we'll get that. What's the most popular form of finance leasing being used by businesses? Do you see changes, for example, given the economic worries, will obtaining finance be harder?
Contract hire is definitely the way, is what we're finding a lot of businesses, that's their preferred method of funding. For the simple reason being is you've got fixed monthly payments. If you've got a maintained contract on there that covers tyres, routine servicing and all the other sort of bits and bobs as well, you've just got a fixed monthly payment. I think that is where it has been, and I can't see that changing throughout. And to be honest, a lot of the businesses that's what they that's their sort of preferred method of funding, and very similar to private individuals as well. So personal contract hire, that's overtaking personal contract purchase, which is a PCP with a balloon payment at the end. So everyone is going, really, we're seeing a massive demand, and we can cater for both,
right?
So it makes no difference to us, but contract hire through business is where it is at this present point. Yes,
and it helps control your budgets and everything because you've got that fixed cost, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah.
Do you think Brexit's going to have an effect on the automotive industry and make costs higher for customers? I mean, we've got a bit of a concern up here in the Northeast because Nissan's talking about increased costs and so on.
Yes, and no. When it was announced that we're sort of, we're coming out of the EU and everything, things have changed within the automotive industry with CO2 emissions. So that's now changed. That has caused a lot of issues recently. And fundamentally, the main issue is that all the cars had to be registered before March, they had to be registered before April, because that's when it clicked over to the new CO2 emissions, which is the world emissions as such. But the issue that we had there is that all the dealerships were shut. So there was a lot of cars that were not registered because of that. And I know that the government at the moment are in talks with certain regulators to see what they can do. But yes, I think before COVID, it was tough because, we was coming out of the EU. I think there was the customer confidence was at an all-time low. No one knew what was going on. But I'll tell you one thing, Malcolm, it does seem a bit of a distant memory Brexit. and in a way, I wish we were still talking about that rather than COVID, to be honest with you. But it does seem a bit of a distant memory, I must admit.
Yeah, I've just finished a few minutes ago my 102nd podcast episode on Brexit.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I was only expecting to do 50 before we were out, right? And there's still more to go. But yeah. Look, both the leasing and the automotive sectors are crowded, you know. So how do you stand out? How do you be different? How do you attract customers? It's not all about price, is it?
No, it's not. It's customer service. And I know it sounds very cliche, I must admit, but with all as a credit broker, we're in partnership with a lot of finance providers, and a lot of the credit brokers have got the same finance providers, which means we've got the same offer. The only way that we stand out really is just what we do behind the scenes, how we look after the customers literally at point of inquiry all the way through to delivery. There are certain processes that we've got in place here. We've got a thing called Track My Car, which you can see the status of the vehicle at any given point when you've ordered the vehicle. So very similar if you ordered a pizza tonight, a Domino's, let's say. If there's a Domino's near you, you can see exactly where it is. And it's the same with a car. The only difference is you're not going to eat a vehicle. But you can see where things are. You can see the status of the vehicle. And to be honest with you, that for us has been a bit of a saving grace because it just gives a lot of information. It's a bit of information overload to the customer. But as soon as they've got that information, they feel a lot better, and you know, they feel more confident to deal with us. And that on the back of that comes with referrals as well. Yeah. So it is customer satisfaction. The customer journey is a massive part as well. And you know, with our reviews, we take a lot of pride in our reviews because as a small credit provider in Northampton, it's a big thing for us to get our name out there. And the only way to do that is good customer service.
And I see behind you that you're quite rightly, proudly got over 300 positive customer reviews, which is superb, you know. Okay, so how have you found managing the business in recent months? Have you had personally had to learn new skills? And if so, what are they?
It's been very difficult. There's no question. I have got a business coach, which I've had for the past 6-7 years, I would say. And the business coach, we look at various different aspects of my own progression, my own learning as well. And we've had to adopt various different things. So, you know, very similar to what we're doing here. This sort of virtual meetings, and the same with the team when they're working from home. And it was very difficult. It was very difficult indeed. But I think for me personally, in the time of lockdown, when I was still working in a very small capacity, it was mainly looking at the processes, looking at the structure, looking at what do we do, how can we do the customer, you know, make the customer experience a lot better, and just revisit certain things that I didn't have the option or didn't have the the time to do it before, the luxury to do it before, because we were so busy, especially in January, like I said before. You know, the time just went. But in those times of lockdown, I could really sort of just home in on certain skills, things like how do we get back to customers a lot quicker? Automation was a massive thing for us as well. Revising the website. So in the midst of lockdown, a new website was born. So the customer journey was a lot better. So all of this, it was, to be honest, and it was refreshing. It was refreshing. It wasn't refreshing seeing that there was no orders coming in and no cars going out. But when things went back up and running, all of a sudden it was like a new business. And I can't express that enough. It was a breath of fresh air as well, because we didn't know how things were going to be once things started to progress. But things are starting to have momentum now. So I think it was just homing in on some skills. Also, I set up a bit of a podcast channel as well. Something that I really wanted to do for many of a year.
Yeah.
But I had time to do it. So I set up a podcast channel. So I've got some podcasts going out there. I'm just trying to get content out. So a lot of content through a few of the social media platforms as well. Some good content, some bad content, but every content is is always good identifying.
You're true there. So what's your personal leadership style then? Hands on, hands off, or other? And has it changed over the years since 2012?
It has. We started, well, I started with myself. I built the team up very slowly. And to be honest, when building a new business, you don't have, I didn't go to university or anything. I didn't have business management skills. I didn't know how to manage a team, let alone one member to 8 or 9 team members that we've got now. So things were very difficult at first. But the way I've always believed is that I'll treat people the way that I want to be treated.
Right.
I'm not one to be shouting, standing on my pedestal, saying this has to be done. Ruling by fear, I think, is what my business coach seems to tell me. That's not my style. It's more hands-on. Yeah. Roll the sleeves up, which you can see now.
Yeah.
And just get amongst it. And I find that once you do that, the team can see that I'm more involved with the business, and I have been throughout the 8 years. Whether I'll sort of take a step back, no, probably not. I just can't, I'll just continue the way things are going. I've got a great team. I've got a team of 8 now, 8 strong members of the team, and we all work as a team as well. And I think that's the whole thing. Team is a big word, I find. And I always say team, if you sort of say individual, I'm the managing director on this, even in my footers, I've got an account manager or account director, because you don't want that sort of leadership of you're above and they're below. Once you've got that sort of conflict, things can go horribly wrong. So I'm all hands on, very personal, and we just push the business as it is, as a friend as well, trying to keep the team spirit to an all-time high.
Yeah, I think that's excellent. Given the small operation, instead of having hierarchical, you've got a nice flat thing there.
Yes.
So let's keep talking team. How do you motivate them? Is it straightforward sales performance incentives or a blend, or how do you motivate?
It's a mixture. So we have got incentives. All the team members, especially in sales, are incentivized with certain, they've got certain criteria that they need to reach each month, each quarter, each year. But individually, we have got sort of we've got spot incentives. So if we get to a certain, whether it's certain proposals, applications in a certain week, we've got a bit of a, we've got a bit of a thing with that. But then what I tend to find as well is that every Friday, we'll all get together. We've got a thing called spin the wheel as well.
All right.
Which we do. So it's a wheel that we've actually got. And do you mind if I actually get that? Let me show you.
Yeah, let's do that. Scott's just gone to get the spin the wheel. That's excellent. So what happens? How's it work?
So what we do here is that the team are, it's basically the person, one of the team members that have had most sales in a week, person that's also had the highest reviews, customer care, all of this sort of stuff. It's sort of set each week.
Right.
And then what we do then is that we then, that individual, that sort of person then sort of spins the wheel here, sort of lands on whatever it may be. But you'll see that everything's orientated with team. So you've got team, a meal there, you've got certain various things. But doing this is good. It's good fun as well. We also film it. We put it on social media platforms as well. And we had a bit of a following before COVID because we were spinning that most weeks.
Right.
And you start to get a bit of a following. But these are certain things that we do. We have team. We sort of go out as well for some drinks. I think we've got a bit of a meeting, a bit of a team, sort of few drinks next week. But with COVID, with what's happened, we're very sort of limited to what we can do. But pre-COVID, we was going out a lot. We was just doing a lot of activities as well for charity. So we all come together with that. Team bike events, running events, all sorts of various different bits and bobs with our little slogan of we are SFM. So we do a lot of stuff for that. So it's just keeping, it is a sort of family business, and it's that sort of family feel that we want within the team. as well.
Excellent, excellent. I like that. It's really good. And I don't want number 8 though, because that's loser.
So no one wants that. No. Oh,
okay. You've got a very interactive website and a chat service. I've obviously been on it looking to upgrade my Model T Ford. Is this because you increasingly see less showroom type visits with buyers knowing what they want and searching around for deals online?
What we found, we've had the live chat facility for a couple of years now, and we get more interaction from the live chat than we do with telephone calls coming in.
Right.
Everyone's busy, even more so now, after COVID. So everyone is extremely busy. And when customers go onto the website, they can't really pick the phone up, especially if it's a busy office. They can't pick the phone up, or even if it's a mobile, they have to find the number. So with a live chat facility, they can go on there, they can see the offer, we can then interact. So we haven't got any bots or automation. That's actually us that's answering the live chats. And to be honest, it worked extremely well. I think over the past week, we've had 31 chats we've had with various different customers, businesses and private individuals. But for us, it just works. We can get all the, we can qualify the customer when it comes through to see exactly what they're looking for, and then give them a call at a time that's convenient for the customer. And we're tending to find at the moment it's after 5 o'clock, after the working day.
Yeah.
So, and also it's on 24/7, believe it or not, to my detriment. So it's does sometimes go off at 11 o'clock at night, which my wife doesn't really appreciate, but it's just the service that we provide. It does work well. It really does.
And I think it's funny, those people who think, well, I'll start my own business because I'll only need to work 2 days a week.
Oh, I just wish that was the case. I really do.
No way. Right. Look, in this supposedly new normal, change will happen. And most likely in business culture. What do you think the new business culture of a successful company like yours will look like? Or will there be no changes?
There will be changes, very, very small changes. I think one of the main changes at the moment is working from home. I think that's a big change for a lot of businesses, a lot of industries.
Yeah.
We trialed that. We trialed it for a month before furlough. And we found it extremely difficult. We did find it difficult. It didn't work for us. We've got a very small team, a young, dynamic team. We're working from home with distractions from young families and sort of day to day. It was very difficult for motivation. So that was one of the reasons why the team started to come back one by one. But that being said, for other industries, it worked extremely well. There's a few banks that I know, people that work in banks that are working from home. And they believe that is the way it's going to be. And productivity is at an all-time high because they won't need to travel. Speaking to our finance partners as well, we usually have a meeting once a month. And I had a meeting last week. And it was for the finance partner. It was fantastic for them because they travel an hour and a half to get here to Northampton. The meeting is usually an hour and then an hour back.
Yeah.
So, in that sort of space of time, we managed to conclude our meeting within 15 minutes, straight to the point.
Yeah.
And so productivity is at an all-time high for that. But for us, yes, working from home didn't work. But as I said, that's not for everyone. I think working from home for a lot of industries is going to be the new norm. Meetings are going to be just like this now. I've just literally just come off of a meeting this morning, and it was just like this. And the people that I've been speaking to from up and down the country, one person up north and one person down south, and we just managed to get onto a Zoom meeting and just have the meeting within 15 minutes. So that is the new norm. We do have people come into the office as well, so that is going to be limited. So we do, one of the things that we do provide is handovers here. So customers can come and collect their cars from us. That's going to change. That's going to be very different. All the cars now are sanitized. They're transported as well. So there's a lot of changes. A lot of changes. But for the for how things are going to go within the industry and other industries, I think there's going to be changes. That 100% now.
Yeah, but what I like about what you're doing is that you're very agile. And, you know, I've been gathering that throughout our conversation there. You're not stumbling, you're agile, moving
we
quickly.
We managed just to find our way. And it's a strange thing. It's like we're on this ship and we see a bit of an obstacle, maybe an iceberg. Mm. And we think, right, we'll stay well clear. And then we just adapt. And the thing is, we can adapt fairly easily, even though it can be very difficult, but we can adapt and we have been adapting. Everything is very different at the moment with business. The people that we're speaking to, everyone is, I think there's a lot of uncertainty at the moment. But then that being said, there is a lot of customer demand as well. So, you know, there's positives and negatives, but yeah, we can sort of steer where we need to be. And I think as a team, you know, that has to be done. It really does. Because if you're stagnant, then that's where it all goes horribly wrong. It really does.
So finally, Scott, it's fairy godmother time. Okay. You've got three wishes. And if you had those three wishes for the future of your trade, what would they be?
So three wishes. Well, that is a very good question. I think with what we do, I think demand. I think one of the wishes would be more demand to come through. That's a very hard question, because one of the wishes, especially coming out of COVID as well, I suppose that one of the wishes would be that the demand kept high. Great offers were going to come about. The manufacturing is going to really start to ramp up for special offers for us. So I think it's a bit of a mixed bag. I think it's just how the whole market is and just how the feel of things are. I think I really do wish that we get to a certain point where we don't have to worry about what we've gone through. I think it's just making sure that now we've learnt a lesson, I suppose, from, I think a lot of people have been very complacent. Mm. There's a lot of businesses that have been very complacent.
Yeah.
Before COVID hit, I do know a lot of businesses that are just sort of just were stagnant, were just floating around.
Yeah.
They did what they did. Customer service was at an all-time low, I would say. And they just got on with their business as they saw fit. And I think with COVID hitting in such a way that it did, it questions everything. It questions how we do business now, how we treat customers, how we do things, how we even get back to customers with quotations and even the method of contact. Mm. Where before it was mainly picking up the phone, we're finding now it's a lot of text messages and WhatsApp. So it's everything has changed. But for me, I think it's changed for the positive. It's refreshing to see what's happened in terms of what's going to happen in the future. But there's going to be more hurdles. You know, we've had a lot of hurdles recently. I think the last 3 years we've had emissions from our friends at Volkswagen. We've had emissions, Brexit, and then we've got COVID. And I'm sure there'll be something else down the line. But I think, to be honest, with that sort of question, the wishes are is that it just, I wish it's all going to be normal to a certain degree and everyone succeeds in pushing forward and coming out of this awfulness that we've had. And everyone just gets that certain level that we're all at. Because in January as well, just gone, the whole market was buoyant. It was just an influx. The dealerships were doing extremely well. Businesses, local businesses, they were thriving coming out of, because of Brexit. We saw a light at the end of the tunnel. And all of a sudden, it feels like with COVID, the shackles were put back on. But now the shackles are off. Everyone is just firing on all cylinders, and it's great to see.
Excellent. Yeah. Scott Noel, I just know no matter what's going to be thrown at you, that you are agile and will adapt and will continue to succeed. Thank you for the interview today.
No, thanks very much, Malcolm.